Friends, you have all participated in this 10-day Dhamma seminar. This is the Patipatti, the practical side of Dhamma. Without experiencing the practical aspect of Dhamma, the theoretical aspect is not clear. Of course, it is not expected that in 10 days one will be able to grasp the finer aspects of Dhamma, but at least a rough outline as to what the path is, a rough outline as to what the law of nature is. I keep on repeating that Dhamma does not mean Buddhist Dhamma or Hindu Dhamma or Jain Dhamma or Muslim or Christian or Sikh or Parsi Dhamma. Dhamma is Dhamma. And so also Buddha is Buddha. Not that only one person could become Buddha. Anyone who gets fully enlightened is a Buddha. And what is full enlightenment? Realization of the truth at the ultimate level by direct experience. When someone becomes a fully enlightened person, he does not establish a particular sect or a particular religion. He just explains the truth that he realized himself, the truth that can be realized by one and all. And realizing the truth, the law, the nature, the Dhamma, how one can come out of the misery. Universal Dhamma, the law of cause and effect. Yo paticca samuppadam janati, so dhammam janati. Yo dhammam janati, so paticca samuppadam janati. He declares so clearly that one who understands the law of cause and effect understands Dhamma. And one who understands Dhamma understands the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect is never sectarian. A particular law is not applicable only to a particular community, a particular caste, people of a particular color, or of a particular country, or of a particular time, particular era. The law is universal. It does not differentiate. It does not discriminate. You generate negativity in your mind. The law of nature is such that the moment you generate negativity in the mind, how mind turns into matter, and such matter formation starts within your material structure that you feel very agitated. You feel very unhappy, very miserable. You may keep on calling yourself a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a Jain or a Buddhist. You may keep on calling yourself an Indian or a Pakistani or Sri Lankan or Burman or American or Russian, makes no difference. The moment you have generated a negativity in the mind, The law of nature is such that you are bound to become miserable. Nobody can save you from misery. If you don't generate negativity in the mind, you will notice that you are not miserable. If the mind is free from defilements, a pure mind, again by nature, is full of love, full of compassion, full of sympathetic joy, full of equanimity. If there is a practice, if there is a technique, if there is a path which can change the habit pattern of our mind, the present habit pattern which keeps on reacting with negativity, if this habit pattern can be changed and the mind becomes pure, all the defilements are washed away. The roots of the defilements are eradicated. Then naturally one comes out of misery. One may keep on calling oneself by any name, it makes no difference. The law is law. It is universal. This is the enlightenment of a Buddha. And this is what he keeps on teaching. A Buddha is never interested in a particular philosophy. Most of the time, a philosophy is created by people who play intellectual games, by imaginations, intellectualizations. Philosophy is also created by people who may have experience, but very little experience. Just a few steps on the path, and with whatever experience they gain by those few steps, they form a philosophy which becomes a belief and becomes a blind belief for their followers. And this is how different sects are established. Beliefs which are imaginary, or beliefs which are created by intellectual games, or beliefs which are created by partial experiences of the truth. An enlightened person understands all that. He will never insist that you accept whatever I am saying, because I am a realized person. I am a fully enlightened person, so you must accept what I say. Oh no, don't accept. You realize yourself. Here is a process. Here is a process by which you realize yourself. You take steps yourself on the path, and as much as you realize, that much only you accept, not more than that. Path is there. Keep on walking on the path. As much as you keep on realizing yourself, accept only that much. Of course, the rules of the game are there. Don't get involved in any kind of imagination. Don't get involved in any kind of your beliefs. Our tradition says so. So you try to see the things with your own traditional beliefs, with colored lenses, then it doesn't work. Just the reality as it is, from moment to moment as it is, and keep on understanding its nature, its characteristic. The reality of the entire universe outside can be intellectualized. The reality within the framework of the body can be experienced. And you are asked to experience this reality within the framework of the body. As I said, in 10 days, it is not expected that one becomes perfect in understanding this law of nature fully. But at least A student who works with an open mind, who comes to investigate the truth, at least to know what the path is for the truth realization, within these 10 days, one gets convinced that yes, the technique is right. Certainly, if I proceed further on the path, I'll be able to realize subtler, finer realities pertaining to this mind and matter structure. The interaction between mind and matter, how one influences the other, how one gets influenced by the other, the whole process, which has nothing to do with this religion or that religion, which has nothing to do with this belief or that belief, like a scientist who investigates the truth by dividing, dissecting, disintegrating, dissolving, analyzing the truth, not merely at the intellectual level, but at the experiential level, the actual level. The nama, the rupa, the mind, the matter. You took just a very tiny step on the path to understand what is this nama, what is this mind, to understand what is this matter. A very tiny step. As you proceed further, the path will lead you to the stage where you can experience the dance of every tiniest subatomic particle which goes to make this physical structure within the framework of the body and outside in the universe. The tiniest subatomic particle, how it arises, passes, arises, passes, arises, passes. And the matter, as the matter, so the mind. You keep on dividing, dissecting, disintegrating, and the reality about the mind becomes clearer and clearer. A stage will come when you will be able to realize the ultimate truth pertaining to the mind also. That also arises, passes, arises, passes. And a time will come when you'll be able to realize the ultimate truth pertaining to the mental contents. What arises in the mind? The concomitants which arise along with the mind. Their nature also arising, passing, arising, passing. The ultimate truth pertaining to the matter. The ultimate truth pertaining to the mind. The ultimate truth pertaining to the mental concomitants, the mental contents. This investigation of the truth of nama and rupa, the mind and the matter, is not merely for the sake of investigation. It is not merely for the sake of quenching your thirst of inquisitiveness. What is this mind? What is this matter? Not for the sake of curiosity. The whole process you will find by realizing the truth pertaining to mind and matter, the entire process of this realization has started changing your habit pattern at the deepest level of the mind. As you keep on proceeding, even in 10 days, not that everyone starts realizing so deeply, but there are quite few who start realizing how the mind influences the matter, how the matter influences the mind. Every moment, masses of subatomic particles within the framework of the body, kalapa, the tiniest subatomic particle, they arise, they pass away, they arise, they pass away. And how? how they arise. The cause becomes clearer and clearer as you investigate it without any past conditioning of your philosophical belief, just the reality as it is. What material input you have given. By your experience you will understand what material input I have given. Look, this type of kalapas are arising. Your material input, the food that you have taken, becomes a cause for these kalapas to arise, different kinds of kalapas. Aharaj, they arise because of the food that you have given to your body. Uttuj, the climatic atmosphere around you. You will find because of the climatic atmosphere around you, different types of kalapas keep on arising, passing. You start understanding the formation of this mind-matter structure. How it gets formed, gets dissolved, formed, dissolved, formed, dissolved. The matter helps the matter to get formed, dissolved. The mind helps the matter to get formed, dissolved. And that is called chittaja. The mind turns into matter. And then kammaj, the mental actions of the past, the conditioning of the past, your sankharas of the past, how they keep on turning into rupa, into matter. By practice of vipassana, it starts becoming clearer and clearer, not that in 10 days you become perfect, a beginning is made. At this moment, what type of mind has arisen? And what is the content of this mind? The quality of the mind is according to the content of the mind. The mind has arisen. The mind full of anger has arisen. Or a mind full of passion has arisen. Or a mind full of fear has arisen. What sort of mind has arisen? And as it arises, it turns into these kalapas. That type of kalapas, that type of subatomic particles, that type of metabolism starts in the body. What type of mind? A mind full of passion, full of kama tanha. Then this material structure, the physics and the biochemistry of the body, the subatomic particles, they arise of a particular type, and there is a flow, a secretion, glandular or non-glandular, there is a secretion in the entire body which starts flowing with the stream of the blood. A particular type of biochemical starts flowing because your mind full of passion, the mind full of passion has arisen, and with that the material, the kalapas that they arise with a particular type of chemical, biochemical. Ashrava, kam ashrava, the flow full of passion. Now you will start realizing as you proceed further, as a very honest scientist, just to observe the truth as it is, just to observe the law of nature, how it is working. When this secretion of kama asava starts, because it is kama asava, it is a flow of passion. The biochemical that starts flowing is a biochemical produced by passion. It influences the next moment of the mind, the next mind that is arising with passion. The next moment, the mind that arises again arises with passion because the flow was full of passion. Kam asava again turns into kam tanha, a craving of passion. A craving of passion at the mental level again, kam asava, a flow at the physical level, at the biochemical level, again full of passion. One starts influencing the other. One starts stimulating the other, and it keeps on multiplying, multiplying, multiplying. For minutes together, at times for hours together. And your habit pattern, the behavior pattern of the mind, gets more and more strengthened in generating passion. Because repeatedly you are generating passion, 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 from moment to moment, passion, 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 passion. Small little stimulation from outside. And because of this behavior pattern that you are carrying, it will react with passion. And it reacts with passion because of some outside stimulation or a thought. And then it starts multiplying because of this kama asava, this flow, the secretion of this particular biochemical. You are not coming out of it. As it is passion, so it is fear, so it is anger, so it is hatred, so it is craving. Every type of impurity that comes in the mind, how quickly it turns, simultaneously it turns into this asava, and how this asava keeps on stimulating that particular negativity, the particular impurity, and a vicious circle starts, and you keep on suffering, suffering, suffering for a long time. You call yourself a Hindu or a Muslim or a Jain or a Christian, it makes no difference. The process is such. The law is such, applicable to one and all. No discrimination. To understand it merely at the intellectual level will not help. Because understanding at the intellectual level might create so many difficulties. Your belief from a particular tradition will come in the way. And although it looks quite logical, and yet that belief will keep on creating difficulty for you, obstacles for you. Or the intellect has its own limitation. You can't realize the ultimate truth at the intellectual level. The ultimate truth is limitless, infinite, and the intellect is finite. It does not have that capacity. It is only the experience which can make you realize the ultimate truth, which is infinite. So merely at the intellectual level, if we try to understand the law of nature, it doesn't help. Because even if you accepted this law of nature, you are not coming out of your behavior pattern. The behavior pattern is there at the depth of your mind, at the root level. What you call the unconscious mind, which is not unconscious. It all the times remain in contact with this body, the nama, the rupa, the nama and rupa. And with this contact of the body, a sensation keeps on arising, because every chemical that flows in your blood generates a particular type of sensation. Phassa pachaya vedana, you feel a sensation, pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral, whatever it is. And with the feeling of this sensation, you keep on reacting. At the depth of your mind, again you keep on reacting with craving, with aversion, with craving, with aversion. You keep on generating different types of sankharas, different types of negativities, different type of impurities, and the process of multiplication keeps on, keeps on, keeps on. You can't stop it. Because there is such a big barrier between the conscious mind and the unconscious mind. When you practice vipassana, It breaks this barrier. Without vipassana, the barrier remains. At the conscious level of the mind, at the intellectual level of the mind, one may accept the entire theory of Dhamma, of truth, of law, of nature. But still, one keeps on rolling in misery because one cannot realize what is happening at the depth of the mind by experience, by direct experience. One cannot understand that. Vipassana helps that. And how does it help? Observing your respiration for a few days, you come to the stage where the mind becomes very sharp, very sensitive, and those who work properly, and those who work patiently and persistently, most of them in the first 10 days, others maybe in second 10 days or third 10 days, they come to the stage where they can feel sensations throughout the body. Sensations are there every moment. Every contact results into a sensation. Phassa pachaya vedana. It's not a philosophy, it's a truth. The moment there is a contact, and every moment there is a contact, at least of mind and matter, throughout the physical structure. Wherever there is life, there is mind. With the mind, the matter coming in contact, there is bound to be a sensation. The deeper level of your mind keeps on feeling the sensation and it keeps on reacting to the sensation. But the surface level of the mind keeps itself busy with outside objects, this object, that object, or with thinking, or with intellectualization, or with imagination. That is the job of your tiny mind at the surface level. Therefore, you don't feel what is happening deep inside. And you don't feel how you're reacting to this at the deeper level of the mind. By vipassana, that barrier is broken. And one starts feeling sensations throughout the body. Not merely at the surface level, but deep inside also, the entire physical structure. Wherever there is life, there is a sensation. And then you start realizing, by observing these sensations, you start realizing their characteristic, the characteristic of arising, passing, udayabhyay. By understanding this, you change the habit pattern of your mind. Not that as soon as you start practicing, the habit pattern is changed. Say you are feeling a sensation, a particular sensation, which may be due to the food that you have taken, which may be due to the atmosphere around you, which may be due to your present mental action, or which could be because of your old mental actions which are fructifying. They give their fruits. Whatever it may be, a sensation is there. And you are trained to observe it equanimously, not to react to it. And you keep on reacting because of your old habit. You sit for 1 hour. Maybe initially you get only a few moments when you don't react. All the other time you're reacting. But a few moments you do get when you're not reacting. Those few moments are wonderful moments. You started changing the habit pattern of your mind. The blind habit pattern which was to react to this sensation and which was multiplying this vicious circle of misery, at least few moments, you're not reacting. You started changing the habit pattern. You keep on working with it. You keep on working with it by observing the sensation and understanding its nature of impermanence, changing, you don't react to it. You get few seconds when you don't react. In an hour you get few seconds. Then in an hour you get few minutes. Of course, it is only by practice that you reach a stage where throughout the hour you don't react at all. At the deepest level, you don't react at all. The habit pattern is changing very strongly. Vicious circle is broken. This chemical process, which is manifesting itself as a sensation, and your mind reacting to it with a particular impurity, a particular defilement, and it goes on for hours together. Now break is coming in there. break a few moments, break a few seconds, break a few minutes, and it becomes weaker, weaker. As this habit pattern becomes weaker, 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 because the vicious circle is broken now, it becomes weaker, weaker, weaker. Your behavior pattern is changing. The life which was full of misery because of this blind behavior pattern of reacting to these sensations is now changing. You are coming out of your misery. Again, this is not to be believed because Buddha said so. It is not to be believed because your teacher says so. It is not to be believed because your intellect says so. You have to experience it yourself. And then you start realizing, yes, it is changing my behavior pattern. People coming to such courses have found by their experience. That is why they are on the path. They have found by their experience that there is a change, and a change for better in their behavior pattern. The addiction is not merely an addiction to alcohol or to drugs. The addiction to passion, the addiction to anger, the addiction to fear, the addiction to egotism, all these are addictions. You get addicted to your impurity. At the intellectual level, you understand very well, anger is no good for me. It is dangerous. It is so harmful. Yet because you are addicted to anger, you keep on generating anger. And when the anger is over, then you start repenting. Oh, I should not have generated anger. I should not have generated anger. Meaningless. Next time again, any stimulation, and again anger. You are not coming out of it because you have not started working at the depth of the behavior pattern of your mind. The anger starts because of a particular chemical that has started flowing in your body. And that interaction, one influencing the other, the mind, the matter, the mind, the matter, and the anger continues to multiply. By practicing this technique, you start observing the sensation that has come up because of the flow of a particular chemical. You don't react to it. That means you don't generate anger at that particular moment, maybe just one moment, which turns into few moments, which turns into few seconds, which turns into few minutes, and you find that you are not easily influenced by this particular flow as you used to be influenced in the past. You are slowly coming out of it, coming out of it. People coming to the courses, not merely coming to the courses, going back home and applying this in their daily life. And the way to apply is morning and evening they meditate. And then during the whole day, the night, during different situations, they keep on observing themselves, how they are reacting. Are they reacting to it? Or are they remaining equanimous to the situation? Any situation having arisen outside, first thing they will try to do is observe the sensation. Because of this particular situation, maybe a part of my mind has started reacting. Now let me see what sensation is there. And you start observing that sensation, your mind becomes equanimous. Then whatever action you take is an action, it is not a reaction. Action is always positive. It is only when you react that you generate negativity and become miserable. Few moments of observation of the sensation makes the mind equanimous, and you act. The life is life full of action instead of reaction. This practice, morning and evening, then making use of this technique in the daily life, starts changing the behavior pattern. And those who work patiently, persistently, understanding the technique properly, without mixing the technique with any kind of imagination or any kind of blind faith or philosophy, just the truth, the science of mind and matter, how it is working, they start realizing that their habit pattern is changing. One who used to roll in anger for a long time, now the anger is becoming less, less. Even the anger comes, it cannot last for a long period. Even if it comes, it is not that intense. How quickly they come out of it. Similarly, those who are addicted to passion, how the passion becomes weaker, weaker. Those who are addicted to fear, how fear becomes weaker, weaker, weaker. One starts coming out of it. Different kinds of impurities take different times. One may take long time to come out of it. One may take short time to come out of it. But the technique works, provided one works properly how to work with it. One says that I am addicted to alcohol. One says I am addicted to some drugs. What is this addiction? Whether one is addicted to craving or aversion or hatred or passion or fear, the addiction is to a particular sensation that has arisen because of this biochemical flow. The matter, this type of matter, results in your reacting at the mental level. And your reaction at the mental level again turns this kind of biochemical reaction, the flow. When you say that you are addicted, you are actually addicted to the sensation. You are actually addicted to this flow, chemical flow, biochemical flow. The asava of ignorance is the strongest asava. Of course, ignorance is there even when you are reacting with anger or passion or fear. But when you get intoxicated, and the stronger the intoxication, the stronger is your ignorance. Therefore, it takes time to such people to at least feel the sensations, to go to the root of their problem. They can't go to the root of their problem because of this strong addiction of ignorance. When you get addicted to this liquor or addicted to this drug, whatever it is, you can't know the reality, what is happening within the framework of the body. There's so darkness in your mind. You can't understand what is happening inside, but that keeps on happening inside. That doesn't stop. It's only your ignorance which does not make you feel what is happening inside, which does not allow you to realize what is happening inside. In such cases, it takes little time. We have found that cases of alcohol, although that's also addiction, they start getting benefit quicker compared to the people who are addicted to drugs. And addiction to drug also, how deep, how strong. But the way is for everyone to come out of misery. However addict one may be, however ignorant one may be, if one keeps on working patiently and persistently, sooner or later, one is bound to reach the stage where one starts feeling sensations throughout the body. And one learns how to observe these sensations objectively. It may take time. In 10 days, you change a slight habit pattern of your mind. Doesn't matter. A beginning is made. And you keep on proceeding. You keep on working. You take a few more courses, you keep on your practice morning and evening. The habit pattern is changed at the deepest level of the mind and you are coming out. You come out of your ignorance, you understand what is happening inside, and you come out of your behavior pattern. You are no more reacting. We keep on advising these people who are addicted that if an urge arises in your mind, even ordinary smoking, tobacco smoking, if urge has arisen, don't just take the cigarette and start smoking. Wait a little. Just accept the fact that the urge has arisen in my mind. Urge to smoke the cigarette. When this urge arises, there is a sensation in the body. Now let me see what sensation. Any sensation. Start observing that sensation, and with the practice of Vipassana that you have been doing in the past, your daily practice, your practice in the courses, you can observe this sensation, whatever the sensation may be. Don't look for a particular sensation. Any sensation at that time in your body is related to this urge to smoke cigarette. And you're observing this sensation, anicca, anicca, look arising, passing, impermanent, impermanent. Not a philosophy, it's a truth. It arises, it passes. It arises, it passes. Oh, so this urge also, urge to smoke is also related to this sensation arising, passing. Let me see how long it lasts. Just you wait for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and you will find you are coming out of this urge. Similarly, those addicted to alcohol, an urge as a reason, or addicted to drug, an urge as a reason, don't succumb immediately. Just wait 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And people have done that. And they found that they are coming out. Not that they are successful every time. But if they are successful, even 5 times out of 10, a very good beginning is made. I say even 1 time out of 10, a beginning is made. And they keep on working, they keep on working with this technique, and they come out of it. The entire habit pattern gets changed. Because the root is changed. The habit pattern lies in the root of the mind. And the root of the mind is strongly related to the sensations on the body. Mind and matter are so interrelated. How they keep on influencing each other. If this law, if this nature is accepted merely at the intellectual level or devotional level, one does not get much benefit. Only benefit one will get is one will be inspired. All right, now let me practice. This is a good path, let me practice. But the benefit that one gets is the benefit only by actual practice. Good that all of you have come, given a trial to this technique for 10 days. If you are convinced by this trial of 10 days that it is a good path, it's a scientific path, no blind faith is involved, no dogma is involved, no conversion from one organized religion to another organized religion is involved, no gurudom is involved, no guru claims that he will liberate you from your addiction or from your miseries. You have to work out your own salvation. The path is there, the technique is there. In 10 days, if one gets convinced that it is a good path, I say that's a good success. It's a long path, a lifetime job. A beginning is made. However long the path may be, a 10,000 mile long path also starts with the first step. One who has taken the first step, there is the expectation that he may take the second step, the third step, and like this step by step, one will reach the final goal of full liberation. One who has never taken the first step even, that means one has kept on playing intellectual games, emotional games, and has not actually practiced to go to the depth of the mind, where the mind and matter are interacting, how the sensations arise and how you react to the sensations, and how if you don't react to the sensation, you are changing the behavior pattern of your mind, but has not started doing that at all. How can it be expected that this person will come out of his behavior pattern? Good, during these 10 days at least you have taken first step, a very tiny step. I wish and I hope that you continue to take step on the path, step by step, step by step, reach the final goal. Come out of all your addictions, not merely addictions of drugs or alcohol. The addiction of the impurity of the mind is stronger than that. It is with you from so many lives. A very strong behavior pattern. You have to break that to come out of all your misery. It's a big job, a big responsibility. And you are doing it not to oblige anybody, not to please any God Almighty, not to please your teacher. You are doing it to oblige yourself for your own good, for your own benefit, for your own liberation. And the process is such that when you start getting benefit from the technique, from the path, you can't resist. You feel like helping others. More and more people who are miserable, may they come on the path, may they come out of the misery. Therefore, your practice is not merely for your own good, for your own benefit, for your own liberation, but also for the good and benefit, for the liberation of so many people suffering all around. May all the suffering people come in contact with pure Dhamma. May they come out of their misery. May they start enjoying peace and harmony. Peace and harmony of the liberated mind, liberated from the defilements. Take rest.